T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, what you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
You wanna get down?
Get down. Get out.
What you gonna do?
Get your back up off that wall.
You wanna get down? Oh, what you gonna do?
Man, that great bass backbeat.
You hear? That's what I'm like. At that. That's why I'm doing that. That's my air guitar, Daryl.
Hey, it was
good
great
stuff.
Of the day. It's still great.
Yes, sir. Good stuff right here.
Freaking funk.
Freaking.
Yeah, I brought my CD in with my... It's the one I use for drive. I have two CDs that when I drive long distances. I have a funk CD, and I'm a guitar rock fan.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, Boston, you know, that kind of classic stuff.
So when you
stuff,
made that, you know, long drive all the way up there to you see your folks, was this playing? Did you bump this?
Not this time, because the wife had the iPod, and she was... Running point on that.
Come on, man.
I know. Well, it's her iPod. I can't really argue with her. Back at the morning show with John and Randy Mack this morning. Hugh on vacation this week. We're talking a lot about Ronald Acuna and the Braves, of course. We've been talking a little bit about the Falcons get back at it today. Julio Jones will speak to the media a little bit later on today. And we get set for the game on Friday, because it's going to be here before you know it. Our coverage on Friday of the Falcons and Chiefs from Mercedes-Benz Stadium begins with a pregame show at 5 o'clock. Mike Conte, Harper LaBelle, live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They'll be over in the AT&T perch if you want to walk over and say hi. And then 7 o'clock kick. So an early kickoff on Friday, 7 p.m., Mercedes-Benz Stadium, West Dave, John Michaels, with the call of the game from Mercedes-Benz, Falcons, and Chiefs. And we're starting to kind of shift into that gear where we look ahead now to the next game and don't worry so much about the last game. Like, for example, I mean, Dan Quinn saying yesterday that Wes Schweitzer is going to get the majority of playing time at right guard in this game after giving Brandon Fusco more snaps in the first game.
Well, he gave Brandon Fusco most reps because most of the time the second unit was in. So is he saying that Wes is going to get more first-team reps than Fusco? Because, yeah, I mean, Fusco got more reps because the second team offensive line was in. Technically, he's
Well, I would that. Think that maybe they're going to flip him.
Do you think they're going
to? But that's what it sounds like
I'm
now.
I'm curious. That's what I'm curious about,
because
John.
They've been 1 and 1A the whole time.
Yeah. Look, have they?
Yeah, they've been going back and forth at number one. I don't think they haven't settled this issue. And I kind of like that about, you know what? I really like that about Wes Schweitzer. I mean, here they bring in Brandon Fusco, started, 85 of 88 games or something like that, right, for the Vikings and the Niners. This is a guy that has serious experience at right guard.
Mm-hmm.
And Wes Schweitzer started 1 year, and boy, he ain't giving that up so easy.
And that's why I said that you can look at it two ways, John. Either Wes got better this offseason, which is highly possible, so you have seen that, or they missed on Fusco. You're not giving a guard $3 million. You're not giving a journeyman guard $3 million to be a backup guard. Well, it's gonna happen like that.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair enough. I mean, I'm hoping it's the former, not the latter.
Me too. I'm with you.
You know that they didn't miss on Fusco, but in fact, they just have a spirited competition going on.
I'm with you.
I certainly hope that's the case.
I hope that's the case too. That it's not necessarily they spent the money in the wrong place. Wes just got better. You know what I'm saying? He just got better.
Right, second year, that happens.
It does happen.
Now, well, it happened in the second
year. Third year.
Well, third year, pardon me.
Yes.
Well, it happened in the second year. Yes, pardon me, third year, because you were correct. Well, it happened in the, because it was Sean Harlow last year. Right.
Right.
Well, it happened in the second year for Duke Riley, because last year's rookie year, not so good. And then he goes out in the opening game against the New York Jets, and not so good. And so Duke Riley, talking yesterday to the media, and look, Duke was honest about where he's at. We have a couple of cuts from Duke Riley talking about his situation right now and what he needs to work on in his game.
Everything from taking the extra step to getting back in my coverage, breaking on the quarterback throw, just a lot of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can be worked on, and I've continuously worked on it throughout the past. And, yeah, it was the first preseason game, you know what I mean? And mistakes will be made. I'm pretty sure if any of you ever played a sport, mistakes have been made. You know, nobody's perfect, you know, but I'm working on doing everything humanly possible to improve. So,
yeah, all right. I guess that's, you know, fair enough. He is trying to do it. He's certainly aware of what he is at. And then he's so aware that he went on and said this.
It doesn't matter, first year, second year. I mean, I got to put better stuff on tape, you know, which I will. And at the end of the day, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm not perfect. No one is. The game isn't perfect. You're not going to go out there and win every snap, win every play. I'm just focusing on what I can do today to get better, going into this next preseason game, just taking a step every game that I play. So that's my goal. That's what I'm working on.
I just thought it was a curious statement to say, I got to put better stuff on tape. I mean, I get it, but at the same time, I thought it was kind of odd.
Why do you look at it as odd?
Because I don't think I've ever really heard anybody talk in that way. I mean, we talk in that way, I mean, but some players.
People, yeah, but I mean, some people can look at it and read into it like, well, he's saying that he might not be here, so he's putting good tape. I mean, I don't look at it that way. I just look at him being, you know, telling the truth. We said it yesterday, John. The tape was bad. I mean, I don't want to say it was bad, okay, because we can all say, we can look at the obvious plays and see what went wrong. But do you study all the tape? And I think that's that whole syndrome with the offensive line. You can play 75 plays and give up one sack, and people say you had a bad game.
Well, let me ask you this. Right, well, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
From your playing days, Randy Mack, as a tight end, I mean, but without having to look at the tape, okay, you could go back over the game, and you're sitting on the plane, you're flying back home to, you know, San Diego, Miami, wherever you're playing, and you're going back over the game, and you could almost go over play-by-play, moment-by-moment of everything you were involved in. I mean, right? You don't have to necessarily look at the tape to know what was good and what was bad.
Oh, 100%.
Okay, 100%. So,
you know if you played bad or not.
I guess that's what I thought was curious. But that, you know, I got to put it on tape. Yeah. I mean, you don't know?
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe he's saying that for everybody who's being critical of him. Or, well, not there.
And again, I don't want to get off on this. It's such a small little thing. Hey, Dean, what up?
Well, I'm trying to understand why everybody was so mad at him yesterday about the quote that he said, if any of you ever played sports. Like, a lot of people was very upset about that.
Because people get butt hurt over certain things. And him saying, if you play sport, basically is saying that you don't know what you're talking about because you didn't play sports.
So right.
That's why I think I think a lot of people took it like that.
Yeah, and they did. And so, you know, in other words, you know, don't be catcalling me because, you know, I play this game. You don't. You don't know what's involved. And guess what? He's right about that. Because you don't know what the assignments are. You don't know what the calls are. You don't know what you're supposed to do. I
agree.
And I mean, that's why I said, you see the obvious plays that he didn't make or messed up on, but you didn't study all the plays.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what Dan could have been saying as far as his improvement was that the things that didn't step up, the bad plays that we saw, there were more good plays than bad plays.
Mm-hmm.
And because people don't really sit there and study it and look at it, you don't know, because I'll go back to the offensive line analogy. Can play 75 plays and completely dominate this end. I'm talking about beating him down, and he gives up one sack, and he's a bum.
Well, against Carolina, Julio Jones drops a pass in the end zone, right?
He's a bum.
All right, tell me what else he did in the game.
He's a bum.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's a bum.
Right, yeah. So, you know, that's that moment that everybody remembers and recalls. And see, here's the thing where I think that Duke Riley is right about this. We're talking about the Falcons getting ready for the Chiefs on Friday on the morning show with John and Randy Mack this morning. Kind of looking ahead to the Chiefs and talking about Duke Riley and where he's going to have to show out against Kansas City. You know, there'll be times, for example, if you're looking at the All-22s or maybe you're at the game and you're watching, you're focusing in, especially in a preseason where you may focus in on one or two guys just because you're kind of curious and not so much following the ball because you're curious as to what they're doing, where you'll have like an outside backer who would just literally be standing there as the play is going on and you're going, why isn't he moving? Why isn't he moving? Because that backer has an assignment to protect a wheel route or something coming off a chip from a tight end, and you have to hold your position to make sure that that doesn't take place. Because you move and that tight end runs by you, and everybody goes, "What the hell are you doing?"
It's a void right there.
Right,
you're absolutely right. It's a void right there. It's all about you know, that's when they say you got to trust the man next to you. Because if I'm doing my job, I trust that you're going to do yours. You know, I can't do both of them. And if I come off on your assignment, that means my assignment's wrong.
Right, so I mean, there are times where guys don't really move much because they're holding their lane, they're holding their assignment, they're doing what they're supposed to do, and letting, you know, everybody else take care of theirs. If they move out of their zone, suddenly that's when a huge hole opens up, and the tight end goes, "Oh, you moved, got it," you know. And so, you know, that's why people don't really understand. So to that degree, I think he's right. I can understand how Duke is in a little bit of protection mode right now.
Of course, I can totally get it. He's human. And
he's hearing everything.
He's human, and as much as people say I don't read or I nowadays, if you didn't read or if you didn't hear, somebody told you. Right. You know what I'm saying? Somebody told you. But I think that, you know, Duke, and you said it earlier, John. When you know when you haven't had your, but you haven't put the best stuff on tape. I mean, it's just you should know. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're just naive as hell. But Yeah, I mean, he knows what he has to do. And Marquand has come out and said he's going to be fine. Dan basically saying his kid's going to be fine. He has the ability to play. We know that. He just has to clean up some things technical. He has to play better with his eyes, you know, as far as reading and recognition. And he got to make plays, and he has got to stop missing open field tackles.
Is that a case where this game just has not slowed down for him yet?
I think that has a lot to do with it.
I think it's going too fast for him.
That has a lot to do with it, you know, and it happens sooner for some than others, that the game just it slows down to a pace where you're just out there, you're just reacting, and you're not thinking. And he just isn't there yet.
Right. And that's – so it is a concern here. And this is why the Falcons are looking at, you know, other players to possibly be in that position. And there's no doubt that again, I know that some fans have tweeted in and said, we have to cut Duke Riley. I just don't see that.
They're not going to cut him. All right. I know – and they're not going to cut him. All right. Does he need to play better? Yes, he does. But had a conversation with a gentleman on Twitter – they're not going to release him. It's just not going to happen. And because they look at him as a future starter, he's a starter now, but I'm saying they look at him as part of that, you know, that core linebacking group where they can interchange all of them. He's got to refine his technique and play better with his eyes.
Does that a thing where you have a coach or another player or somebody that works with him that like literally is over his shoulder while he's out in space in his position on a certain play, kind of walking him through reads?
Yeah. I mean, that's what walkthroughs are for. I mean, in today's NFL, you have more walkthroughs than any damn thing. So he's out there working, Coach Ulbrich and all those guys, right. Marquand. They're out there working with him. And I think Duke knows. I don't think he's a dumb player. I just think that he's not playing fast enough. And what I mean by that is, John, he's sitting there thinking. And when you think like he, especially at a linebacker, you'd be on your heels a lot. And you're not able to, because, you know, we know linebacker, it's all about read and react. Mm-hmm. And go get the ball. And he's like, it seems like he's hesitant sometimes. When you saw the crosser, I'm like, it's right there. And I know you know that you got this guy, this crosser coming into your zone. Go get him. And he just hesitated.
Well, no hesitation from you. If you want to win $1,000 right now, do not hesitate.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
odd. Huh. ODD, odd to 72881. Odd to 72881. Even if you think that you are not going to win $1,000 right now, you might find it a little bit odd that you did, because you texted odd to 72881. Message data rates may apply, not text and drive, okay? Nothing odd about winning $1,000 going in. Can you imagine going to the office between now and 9:59 and maybe you're working a little bit of a late shift and you go in and go, I just won $1,000.
They tax that?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I guess it depends. Are you going to claim it as income?
You know what I'm saying? Like that?
I would think yes. I think the IRS comes in.
Do they take it out the original $1,000?
Probably not. It's probably
That's what I'm saying.
It's probably your responsibility to pay taxes.
Oh, I know
I would
that.
Think.
I know that. I was curious.
Because if you're in a casino,
they take out the original $1,000.
If you're in a casino and you win, like you hit a royal flush on a slot machine, you know, for $1,000, they'll come to you and they'll say, "Do you want us to take the taxes out now, or do you just want the $1,000 and you'll be responsible for the taxes?
Get my loot."
You know. So I mean, it's up to you.
Yeah, I need all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need all that right now.
I mean, because they're gonna have to file it with the IRS. I guess. You know, maybe they ask. Anybody who's won $1,000, you could tell us if they give you the option. That would be interesting to know. Odd to 72881. Message data rates may apply. I think I already did this. The disclaimer, do not text and drive so that no cops look at you oddly. All right, we're talking about the Falcons getting ready for Friday here, and Dan Quinn yesterday talking about adding a little bit more in. It's game two of the preseason. How much does it ramp up Randy Mack from game one to game two?
It does, because you're going to play more, and, you know, because you always prepare your mind to play. I mean, as much as players and starters be like, it's a preseason, when you're out there, you don't look at it that way. You look at it as competition. All right? You don't be thinking about a play count or anything. It's just like, I'm going. So I expect them to play a little bit more. And we said early in the show, if they find out, if the Falcons start slow again like they did up in New York, Dan's going to send them back out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's going to send them back out there to see if they can find a way and find a groove. And you guys still understand, you're without two of your best offensive weapons. I doubt both of them play again in this game right here.
Dan Julio.
Yeah, I doubt they play. That's why I don't think it's going to be that advanced of a game plan, because you're without those two. But I want to see if they're going to get Calvin Ridley involved more. I really want to see what the plan for him is and where they're going to put him on the field and line him up.
Yeah, Gray was a great story, but I want to see – the Hoopers and the Ridleys and the Sanus, and just let's get a rhythm. I agree with you. It's kind of rhythm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The rhythm that KC had. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
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 I saw KC once.
Yeah.
It was a great concert. I liked it. Huh? I like put on my boogie shoes. I was there.
That is, John, that was pretty good, though, how you brought that in there.
He's smooth.
He's smooth. I told you he got the radio voice.
I have chosen my four teams that will make the college football playoff. Who are they? I'll tell you next.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I want to thank Daryl Ashers this morning. Welcome back to the morning show. John Hill, Randy Mack in. I bought in my driving CD of John's Funk, and he has been playing it all morning. Just taking me back.
Because
I haven't played it probably in about 5 years. Maybe.
I don't know if I've played a CD in the last five years.
It's been a while since I put a CD in, but...
I don't think I've used the CD.
And I was just telling the story that I saw KC probably about 20 years ago. I was telling AT. At a casino in California in the late 90s, and he was still rocking it. And man, it was great fun.
Like, this, I should have been raised in this era right here because I'm cool enough to pull it off. Like, I'm cool enough to be in the disco and be in the center, you know, being in the center doing that little shimmy shake right there and wearing the big collars.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm built for that.
I saw Saturday Night Fever 77, summer of 77, and there was a Twin Theater over off Cobb Parkway that's gone now. In, just near Cumberland Mall. It's gone. I think it was called like Acres Mill Twin or something. It's gone now. That's where I remember seeing Saturday Night Fever in there. Yeah, this town was jumping when we had the Limelight and Sneakers and what was the other one? Daryl, Limelight, Sneakers, or the third?
I wasn't here, John.
Oh.
He be throwing that stuff out like you.
I wasn't outside, man.
Well, yeah.
I didn't even know what to do with that CD you handed me this morning.
I was hoping you'd play it some, and you have. So thank you very much, Daryl.
It's been a
lot of fun for me. It is the morning show again. Hugh on vacation this week. He's missing out on this. I just bought it in because one of the reasons I bought it in was because I wanted Daryl is a music expert. Okay. Yeah. Obviously he's a musician. So I wanted Daryl to tell me in that era, because I know that whether it's, you know, Rufus or Parliament, what I missed, because, you know, I was listening to this station in 1977. Okay. This station was Z93. It was the top 40 powerhouse of Atlanta.
Okay.
Okay, this station in my senior year in high school. And that's what they played, you know, was all this kind of great stuff you're hearing today. They played top 40, and all these were top 40 hits. Many of them top five, if not number one hits. Shake Your Booty, number one hit. You know, I mean, so that's what Z93 played and in terms of the best songs. But I know that in that era of funk, I missed stuff.
Like, I got you.
You wouldn't know Mother's Finest unless you were really from here, because they only had two minor hits that cracked the top 40.
Okay.
But I was here, so I know Mother's Finest. But if you live in Cleveland, you don't know Mother's Finest. You know, it just be would
I
not.
I see what you wanted from this. Okay, I got you.
All right, but back to football here, because we have made some time for predictions, and we're going to be putting up the staff predictions on our website at 929thegame.com for the college football playoff. And Rick Hamlin's turning his in now as we speak. We've got Carl Dukes, John Michaels, John Chuckery, who's interesting. I'll leave them to talk about their own. And a few others, Knox Bardeen, some more that are going to be putting in. Andy Bunker are going to be putting theirs in, and there's going to be a big write that goes on our website here in the next day or so about which four teams are you picking to go to the playoff. Now, the Cotton and the Orange are the two semifinal games on December 29th this year. Thank God, Randy, they're not on New Year's Eve.
I don't understand what they were thinking, but...
You know, but they're going to be on Saturday, the 29th of December.
Right.
And the championship game is going to be in where the 49ers play.
Out there in San Jose.
Right.
Is it San Jose or Santa Clara?
I think it's San Jose.
It's, okay.
Yeah, I think it's San Jose. I'm pretty sure. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's San Jose for Levi's Stadium. Do you know, Daryl? Can you check that?
Isn't it in Santa Clara?
I think Santa Clara, Jay.
It is in Santa. Okay, it is in Santa Clara?
Yeah.
All right. I stand corrected. Out there in the Bay Area.
Yeah,
all right.
I did.
Enough.
I did. Okay. I'm with you.
January the 7th. And so I had to pick my four. So I sat down and I thought about it, and I said, you know, I looked at teams that can run the table in their leagues. To me, Clemson, I'm not sure who beats Clemson.
I'm with
I mean,
you.
I just don't.
I'm with you.
If Trevor Lawrence is the player I think he is, or if Kelly Bryant ups his game.
Is he going to be the starter day one, Trevor?
I don't know. I'm not at practice.
Because I'm thinking, go back. Okay, because we all say Clemson had find some way to lose that one game. Do they lose to Syracuse if he stays healthy? Because he was hurt. Remember, he came into the game
right,
with the ankle.
Right, he came into the game, right.
And then he got the concussion.
Well, but the defense did not play well in
it
that
just,
game.
It was just
– Well, but understand this about – there's one thing that's true. Okay, we're going to get off in the weeds here. Weird things happen in the Carrier Dome. Syracuse has beaten Miami. They've beaten Notre Dame. They've beaten Nebraska. They beat Clemson. They beat teams up there they should never even be in the game with in that stadium. I don't know. That's a weird place. I discount that.
Okay.
But I think that they are demonstrably better than the second best team of the ACC.
Which is Miami,
Florida State, Boston College. You know, that Boston College has everybody back. That's why Steve Adazio's got a good team.
But it's Boston College.
And I know, it's Boston College. So unless Clemson stubs its toe, they're going to go unbeaten. They're going to be in the playoff. I think that Washington beats Auburn here. I know that Auburn fans are not going to be happy about that. Washington's got a great defensive line.
They do.
They are demonstrably, again, the best team in the Pac-12 on paper.
Mm-hmm.
With Jake Browning at quarterback, Chris Peterson has the best team in the league. Now, it doesn't mean they can't get beat. I'm just saying they're demonstrably the best team in their league, which is not something that you could say about even Ohio State, because I don't think Ohio State is demonstrably the best team.
I think a lot of people. If Hornibrook, and it's hard because he's not. You don't look at him as a great quarterback. He had 25 touchdowns.
He had 25 touchdowns. I think he could be first team All Big Ten
if he does what he did. If he takes that momentum, and it's hard to do because of the time period. What he did against Miami, if he can do similar to that. They'll beat Ohio State.
And I forget that they've got a great running back.
A great run. And the best offensive line in the nation.
Right.
Yes.
And a pretty darn good defense. I mean, Paul Chryst has a really good team.
Yes.
I'm not sure who beats Wisconsin unless it's Ohio State.
I think that they're the only team I think that can beat Wisconsin is
Ohio State. Penn State might be able to give them a game, obviously. But Wisconsin is – I look at their schedule and say I could see them going 12-0. And so I have Wisconsin as the Big Ten champion. And then – now we get to the Big 12, and I look at the Big 12, and I say, I think Oklahoma's taking a step back. I look at the Big 12, and I say, you got Oklahoma, you got Texas is going to be better, I get that. You've got TCU and Iowa State and Kansas State and a whole bunch of, you know, decent. And by the way, so I say, I'm talking about teams that could win possibly if they get hot 10 games. But I think there's a lot of two-loss teams in that league, including Oklahoma. I think the Big 12 gets shut out again.
I'm with you. I think they will, too.
And West Virginia, to me, is the only opportunity. But, boy,
They
can't stop anybody.
Yeah, well, I mean, West Virginia, they're gonna win games. It's going to be 50 to 49. That's
right.
I mean, they have no kind of defense.
When you have no defense.
Yes. I mean, they don't play outside of TCU. But I'm just saying, they don't play defense in that league. I mean, if you look at West Virginia, they might have the best wide receiver combo in the country.
And Will Greer may be the best quarterback in the country. Boy, how does Florida miss him? Whew, man, he has developed into a
really good player.
Touchdown machine.
A really, really good player.
And so Dana Holgorsen has a really good team, and they'll open against Tennessee, of course, in Charlotte. But, you know, West Virginia, the only team. But, again, when you can't stop anybody.
Don't matter, really.
Yeah, you're asking to get beat 68-65 by, like, Texas Tech or something, and you lose a game that you shouldn't lose, and everybody goes, nah.
And the Oklahoma State, they just – blew the best team they ever had.
Yeah, I know.
And then I don't think they'll ever get back to that level again.
So I look at the Big 12 and say, no, that brings us to the SEC. I don't know what's going to happen with the quarterback situation in Alabama. Frankly, I think Mississippi State could end up second in the West. But this quarterback situation is a concern for me. I have a sense that when Nick Saban – Why does Nick Saban not go after Jalen Hurts? Why does he not cut him for what he did when he basically called out the boss?
Cut him?
He calls out the boss and he says, nobody talked to me, blah, blah, blah. His dad's threatening to quit. Why wouldn't you just, if you believe that Tua was the better quarterback, just say, Jalen, enough of you, goodbye. You know, I mean, but this is why he didn't. Not because he believes that Jalen is the better player, but because I think when Nick tipped his hand, when Nick said, hey, I think that the quarterback who wins the team is going to be the starter. Mm-hmm. I think Jalen Hurts has the support of the team.
Well, they love him. I mean, they love Jalen. You know that from his
teammates. And he would lose the team if he cut Jalen Hurts or he told Jalen Hurts goodbye.
Who would lose the team?
Nick Saban.
Ain't no way in the hell Nick loses his team, John. No way that those young fellas will rebel.
Do you think Jalen Hurts starts against Louisville?
No, I don't.
I do.
I don't. I think that Tua is a starting quarterback. This is the thing with Tua. And this is why, you know, I think that if he were – he makes too many mistakes in practice. He throws a lot of interceptions. This is the what you read. And, you know, that drives Nick absolutely crazy. But also, Nick is the same guy who went how he evolved his coaching style. Remember, he was all about, hey, we're going to put our hand in the dirt. We're going to run the football. We're not going to throw it. And that's – now, when Lane came in, he tried to change that offensive philosophy.
Yeah, we're not going to throw it only with Julio Jones and Amari Cooper. Right.
But what I'm saying is they're evolving, and I think that Tua makes his offense more explosive.
Well, of course he does.
And I think Nick sees that also.
Right, so he may play two quarterbacks. He could play two quarterbacks. He could platoon them. All right, so anyway, I just think that Alabama is going to hit a landmine or two this season. To me, I think Georgia gets past South Carolina. We heard Mike Griffith, the Dog Nation, saying he thinks they're going to go to South Carolina and run them. I think they're going to win the game. I don't see anybody on Georgia's schedule beating them. I just don't.
I don't either.
So I see the four 12-0 teams as being Georgia, Clemson, Wisconsin, and Washington. Now, you got to get to the title game and win it. But I just went through the regular season. Well, of course, title games are regular season games. But I went through the 12-game schedule and came up with four teams that can run the table. And those are the four. And so I put those four into my playoff, notwithstanding the championship games. Georgia, Clemson, Wisconsin, and Washington.
So you think Wisconsin is going to beat Ohio State?
Yes. Yeah, I think there's going to be some trouble at Ohio State with Urban Meyer. There's going to be some fallout.
I mean, anytime you have a scandal or something like this, yes, it's usually.
And I'm not talking about Ohio State going 8-4. I'm just talking about them going 10-2.
Yeah, it might slip up.
Apparently, I had a lot of KC.
I ain't mad at you though.
I was confused. Like, did I play this already? All these songs sounded the same, though, John.
Oh, it's do a beat, repeat. Do a beat, repeat. Do a beat,
that's
repeat.
All it is.
Cash the check. And again, that write will be up on 929thegame.com with all the picks of the staff here. Hey, Ackerman has given a great prize away. They're going to hook up a lucky winner at 929thegame.com on the contest page. Another reason to go to the website. With airfare for two, a hotel stay for two, a $1,000 Visa gift card, and a tickets to the game to go with you to Philadelphia for the opener. How cool is this? You got to go to 929thegame.com contest page and sign up for the Ackerman Flyaway to the opening game against Philadelphia. All you got to do is sign up, and you can win this incredible prize. When we get back, some of the stories we may have missed in the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, John's been gushing all morning over Ronald Acuña Jr. and what he was able to do in the doubleheader against the Marlins yesterday. Just an update on our Vision Computer poll at 92.9 The Game. Do you agree with John Fricke when we're saying that we are witnessing the birth of a baseball superstar? Because John came in here skipping this morning because he was so excited over Acuña Jr. Right now, 60% of people saying yes, he's arrived already. 35% say maybe, slow your roll, John. And 5% say no, there's only been 66 games. So just a heads up for you.
It is amazing. He's only been up for 66 games because, remember, they brought him up late and then he was injured for two and a half weeks.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I did mention that doubleheader. Well, it was your prototypical Atlanta day. It was hot and humid yesterday. Players, coaches, obviously looking for ways to stay cool. Now, most of us would put, you know, either a towel around our head, a cold towel, maybe a cold washcloth around our neck. Well, no, Marlins first base coach Perry Hill had a different way to keep cool yesterday, and here's what happened on part of the broadcast.
He's putting a wet piece of lettuce in his helmet. Do you switch in cabbage sometimes? And Perry said very seriously, cabbage actually sits better on your head. I just saw Perry as he was taking the field, and I said, what's with the lettuce? And he said, it's an old trick to keep you cool. Pete Rose used to do it, guys.
So, yes, Marlins first base coach Perry Hill was shown during the broadcast applying fresh lettuce to his helmet. He would return to the clubhouse between each inning to reload on wet lettuce. So, I don't get it. Normally, lettuce falls apart when it gets soggy, but he did say he preferred cabbage instead of lettuce.
Pete Rose used to do it. I'm guessing Pete lost a bet.
So, you mean to tell me that
there's video of this?
These sports teams, having been used to playing in hot temperatures, have never decided to get a cool towel?
I don't know.
Beyond,
you could go down to Bed Bath & Beyond and get a cool towel for $20. And it lasts the entire game.
Somebody ever invent a cool helmet, you know?
It don't matter. I mean, that's what I think. The cold towels are the greatest thing ever invented for camp. that ice towel, it brings you back. It saves you.
Why can't you have a cool cap? You know, I mean, a baseball cap that's got the lining in it. That's
eventually, I'm sure somebody will come up with something like that. One of them things, they got like a system through it.
Like a mister in your helmet.
I'm sure, hey.
Kind of like those fans that you walk around with. You go,
let me have some of that.
Remember the Brockabella? Do you remember? Are you old enough to remember the Brockabella? Lou Brock, the baseball player, had a hat that had a fan on it.
John,
a Brockabella.
I give you that.
A battery-operated fan.
Only person closest is AP, but we're not there.
The Brockabella.
Ooh, Randy, those are fighting words.
I'm just talking about in the age of genre that he's talking
that
about.
That is true, AT. Don't look around like that.
I'm the oldest one on the show. Don't even try that.
I didn't say the oldest one.
But y'all are closest to age.
I said y'all are closest to age.
Did you, AT, and John, have...
Actually, it didn't have a fan. It had an umbrella on top of it. The Brockabella. I'm looking it up right now. And I've forgotten about it. It's been so many years. Lou Brock did it. The Brockabella.
What was it called?
The Brockabella. It had a little. It looked like you were standing. It had an umbrella on top of your head.
Yeah, an umbrella hat. John, I imagine you've worn one of those before. No.
Oh yeah, I've seen those before. Okay.
John, have you worn one?
So you apologize to John and AT.
I ain't never seen one.
Oh, that was directed at Randy.
You've never seen the umbrella hat? You've seen the umbrella hats. You just probably rolled your eyes.
I've never seen this hat before.
It's ridiculous.
I'll find it. Go ahead, Wendy.
But I just imagine that John will wear one in the near future. Well, Tiger Woods brought a ratings bonanza with him after the run at the PGA Championship that nearly ended in a win. Well, there's further proof that the Tiger effect exists, and this is a clip from the end of a Rogers Cup match starring Rafael Nadal. Now, after his finals win, you can see him sort of staring and swiping at his phone. The commentators are saying, oh, I guess he's checking his messages, saying congratulations.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It may be tough to hear, but this is what Nadal was really doing on his phone following his tennis match.
And Cincinnati back to back.
What's Tiger doing?
What another score in the golf there. Tiger's close. I mean, he was tied for second, wasn't he, for a while?
So if you can understand what Nadal said, he goes, I've got to check on Tiger. So even Rafael and Nadal very interested to seeing what Tiger Woods was doing
in the
PGA Championship. And like I said, those ratings were through the roof because of Tiger Woods.
And I'm just really happy, again, that the fans, the young fans, the 20-something, or especially if you're in your early 20s, like my daughter who's 22, are having a chance to at least experience a little bit of Tiger Mania, what we were able to experience and be witness to, and, back 20 years ago. It's just really cool.
Well, one day after the Jaguars' Jalen Ramsey was suspended for a critical tweet towards a reporter, Steelers star Antonio Brown took aim at a media member on social media as well. So during Monday's training camp session, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette beat writer Ed Bouchette tweeted that Brown limped off the practice field with an apparent injury. Brown suffered a quad injury earlier in camp but returned as a full participant on Saturday. Now, Bouchette watched Brown closely at practice, as one should, but may have misjudged how Brown left the field. So come Monday evening, Antonio Brown took to his Twitter to call out the reporter, saying, bro, seriously, have some respect. You making bleep up, clown. So calling a Steelers reporter a clown. Then 2 hours after his initial tweet, Bouchette followed up with a tweet that Brown was not hurt, according to Mike Tomlin. Now, the team had planned for Brown to do individual work on Monday, but he did not clarify that Brown wasn't injured. So another incident of a player and reporter sort of going back and forth, even though Bouchette did not address Antonio Brown by name or the tweet.
And here's the thing. Look, there are times where the media way oversteps its bounds. And players and coaches and teams have absolutely every right. But you got to pick your spots. This was not one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I love AB and everything. And he's become an internet superstar. You know, he posts all his business out there.
Mm-hmm. All of his workouts, all his everything.
He put all his business out there.
Remember the one thing in the locker room
Really dumb. But, it's getting real old because I understand the injury thing. You don't want nobody false reporting injury, but I mean, anytime somebody's critical of a player, they just got to clap back. Like, I mean, dude, if you didn't play well, you didn't play well. I can say that you didn't play well. Stop taking it personal.
Limped off the field, a reporter is going to report that you seemingly were limping off the field.
Stop taking it personal.
Well, Dak Prescott's father was arrested for possession of marijuana over the weekend in Texas, where he was forced to pose for a mugshot. Now, 57-year-old Nathaniel Prescott, driving on Highway 87 in Orange County, Texas, about an hour and a half outside of Houston, when he was stopped for a traffic violation. Now, during the stop, troopers discovered weed, less than 2 grams, in the driver's side door of his Cadillac Escalade. They arrested Prescott for misdemeanor possession, a Class B offense. He was hauled to the nearby station, booked, and posed for a mugshot, eventually released on $500 bond.
Is that really arrestable? That amount? I mean, I'm asking a friend. I don't do that kind of stuff.
I think one would think not, but I guess if it's not legal in your state, you can technically be arrested for any amount.
Maybe the classic funk song from the era, Chaka Khan with Rufus. Now you know something if you remember this one.
Chaka Khan. Like a Khan, Chaka
Khan.
Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan.
Man, this thing, Tell Me Something Good, was Turn It Up like nobody's business. Sort of like you do when Rick and John get on the air. You turn it up, you know, because we'll tell you something good. I want the whole song. I drag it here. I want the whole song.
I'm trying to wait for this drop right here.
I don't know if we'll be able to get to it before the break. Can we? No? Probably not. Maybe a little. Because,
here it is.
All right, we will next on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!